Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcasts. I'm Brendan.
And I'm Hannah.
Well, the big blonde cloud of boringness, your words, not ours, has parted. And we have lost one of our three. Who? Charlie? I'm not sure. Harry was claustrophobic, Darren. No one knew how to spell Charlotte. And will recruited Ross be the one to avenge Diane's death and take Harry's house down? Also, can we discuss who was the random newsreader? Reb is off today, but she's left us a parting gift in the form of a stunning recap, which Hannah and myself are going to do between us.
Yeah, but first, let's have a little recap of our own. We've had a huge evening.
We have.
We're in the same room.
We are.
Groundbreaking discovery today that we don't need to record separately and can actually speak into one microphone. And this has taken us, we've been doing this podcast since 2019.
Yeah.
So that's 5 years.
That's many years, yeah. I mean, it may be a little echoey. I have a glass table.
So Deal with it. It's a Saturday morning.
It's Saturday, yeah.
I think based on Brandon's night out and the fact that we were meant to start this an hour and 40 minutes ago, you're lucky to be getting a podcast.
Yeah. So last night, we went to the premiere of All of Us Strangers.
Gagged.
Which is a new movie starring Andrew Scott, our love, and Paul Mescal, also a love of many people.
Yeah, and sorry, Claire Foy.
Claire Foy's eyes.
She's not getting spoken about enough. And I know it's about the men, but like that, I was blown away by that performance.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing.
So we we did that. We saw the men. We were close.
We were shoulder to shoulder with Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott last night.
I used my pregnancy to get paparazzi out of the way.
That man was so rude.
He was so rude. So Brendan was like, she's pregnant. I was like, cats later up the fridge. I was like, the fuck. My sister was like, why are you at the front of the red carpet with all the press? I was like, oh, well, I batched. I was grabbing people. And I made eye contact with Andrew. I asked him for a photograph. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. But then he got whisked away. But he, I mean, I would have got one.
Yeah, he was very apologetic that he had to move on to like speak to more journalists.
He
was
like, so nice.
What did he say to you? He's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, yes, but I don't know how to not do this interview.
He was like, I'm moving this way. And I just wanted to remind him. I just wanted to be like, Andrew, do you remember me from Tiger? It was one Christmas, you were holding loads of pillows. It's a one-way system like IKEA. And I think the first season of Sherlock with Moriarty just came out. I really wanted to talk to you, but I just said I'd leave you alone. And I just wanted to run that past him.
Yeah, like, I haven't fangirled like that. I don't think in my adult life. I haven't fangirled like that since I was a teenager with like kind of Robbie Williams vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You ditched the full gin and tonic, remember?
I literally ordered us a full drink.
So there's a bar that's right beside the red carpet.
Yeah.
So we went
It's basically on the red carpet.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And you've got a full view. So we went in, Brendan literally put his drink down. They arrived and I was like, get the fuck out the door. Here they are.
Yeah.
We did think that we might be going.
Amazing. I think had we arrived at a different time, we would have. But because they were on the red carpet, the gal with the clipboard, who was lovely, was like,
lovely woman.
Go around the back.
Go absolutely get in the back door, you absolutely scum. So we went in the back door, but it was like such perfect timing because by the time we'd arrived in the door, so too were they.
Yeah.
So we full view.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was great.
And then we went down to the cinema and sat in the front row, saw the Q&A, which was brilliant. They're just so humble. And then we saw the movie and...
Jesus.
Like, I'm actually not just saying this because we were at the premiere, because I think it's very... you can just get sucked up by being at something. It is just so gentle and it's so beautiful. And it's so sad, and everyone will take something different from it. And
which I was very aware of, sitting in between you and my other Hannah.
Yeah,
I was very aware of obviously both of your stories and where you're both at in your lives, and you know, obviously everyone's, you know, been through their own stuff. And I was just aware that the three of us were all taking something different from it. Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's actually brilliant.
It's great.
And BAFTA need to speak up. Because
how did Paul...
There's a missing person.
Paul Mescal absolutely deserves a nomination. But how did Paul get a nomination and Andrew didn't?
So like, somebody needs to come out and make a statement. Because there's been a huge error of judgment.
Huge.
And the whole country of Ireland needs to be apologised to. But Andrew and then the entire country. But I just think... So Paul obviously went for supporting and Andrew went in main.
For lead.
So maybe lead is just...
It's just a tougher category.
A tougher category, but at the end of the day, you cannot see this film. The man summons tears.
I don't know how he does that. How he constantly has, like, a tear in the bottom of his eye ready to go.
It's in the wing.
Yeah.
The eye acting in this film, from actually everyone.
And sorry, at the screening last night, there was a little Q&A before the movie was played, and Brendan Courtney was hosting, and he asked Andrew Scott, you know, what he said, this is your most personal movie. Mm. And Andrew Scott literally couldn't speak. Like, he broke down completely and had to apologize. Like, it was...
It's on my Twitter. I actually got a video of it and I tweeted it because it's a gorgeous moment. He's like, when I was 16 growing up in Dublin, it was illegal to hold hands with someone.
Yeah.
And we voted for the marriage referendum in 2015. It was a big part of our lives, obviously.
Yeah,
it was one of my first time being really politicized about something. So to think that that's where all of this comes from.
Yeah.
And then I guess for him to be able to stand up in his hometown.
Mm. Yeah. It was fab.
It was just
so fab. Yeah, it was great. I'm so glad we had that moment.
I know.
Yeah.
And then,
brilliant.
Thanks to unnamed service provider, I had to go and watch the trailers in my mum's house at midnight last night. And then drive over to Brendan's this morning to record. So we're in the same room.
We're never in the same room. Yeah.
Happens with you and Reb, never happens.
Yes, always happens. Yeah. So apologies if it's a little echoey, but it's Saturday morning, it's the weekend.
Yeah, and we love and miss Reb, and we really can't wait to have her back next
week. She will be back next week.
But she's done this gorgeous recap.
She has. Shall we walk through it together, hand in hand?
Hand in hand. Okay, so kicks off, and actually going. Can we just say that you came in and watched this last night?
Oh, like three sheets to the wind. Sorry, I am painting myself in a very bad light. Yesterday was a Xanax. Last night it was many gin and tonics.
I got here this morning and Brendan was reading out his own notes that he made last night and asking me, did this happen? And what does this mean? So we've had to watch it twice. It's now 11:45. We were meant to record this at 10, and I have a house to move. So kicking off. Okay, we're about to find out who's been murdered, and as we know, it's between Charlie and Zach. So it's breakfast time, and Charlotte is chatting to Evie about how she thinks Jasmine may have been the one recruited. A lot of light on Jasmine in this episode. Mm-hmm. In Harry's talking head moment, he says he sees Andrew as a teammate and a baby traitor.
The baby traitor line really tickled me.
Which he can coach and nurse. And I mean, we're really seeing Harry's confidence soar.
Mm. Maybe a little too much.
I think so. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ross tells us he's embarrassed and ashamed for going for Jazz and falling for Paul's act, but he now feels he has a target on his back. Then, when she doesn't show up at breakfast, we find out that it is, in fact, Charlotte, one of the many blondes, who is the sixth person to be murdered. One less blonde cast member to get confused about. Okay, so Charlie does seem very sad, and she really wanted that.
And she was also like, the fact that she was like, oh, you know, when you get murdered, like, you don't get to say goodbye. Like, you're just, you're
that
gone.
Would kill me.
Straight out of the Premier Inn. Bus down the motorway. Yeah, gone home. Yeah.
You know, you'd have to go for a few drinks. That's too grim. It's like a holiday that ends really abruptly and you're devastated.
You'd hope that Diane is still like hanging around the lobby or something.
Because they have to do their extra bits for Unrobed. You might get these people on that. Okay, so Molly is naturally upset over Charlie because she's the one that got the shield over her at the Battle of the Blondes.
Mm.
And she's starting to wonder if Charlotte is a traitor and may have had her best pal Charlie killed off to sort of divert attention from her. So next up, Claudia arrives. And I have to say, the outfits get better continuously every day.
Yeah.
And you can see the value in this wool. Like, it's just giving expensive.
It's premium.
Yeah. So Claudia arrives in this stunning sort of coral woolen jumper and says, today's mission will be in her holiday rental.
I love it. So then they're in the kitchen, right, after breakfast. Jazz reveals that he has a huge question and evidence he doesn't want to reveal yet. The
Jazz
absolute drama.
Christy.
Yeah, Jazz is the Christy. I love it. He later tells Evie that he thinks there are two traitors. Jazz brings up a conversation that he had with Paul a couple of days ago where Paul revealed that Harry had told him that Jazz had said if he wasn't there tomorrow, he would be murdered by Paul, right? So when would Harry and Paul have had this conversation? He's like, when could this possibly have happened?
That's what he's bringing
it
up.
It must have been.
In the turret.
Yeah, in the turret, because this conversation didn't happen anywhere else, right?
And the man is shut down. So patronized, shut down so fast.
Yeah. But he's bang on the money, right?
Bang
so
on.
Jazz says that he trusts his gut and he reckons that Harry is a traitor and that Harry told Paul that info in one of their secret meetings, basically, in the traitor's tower, right?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, like spot on, right? We then see Charlotte tell Harry and Ross that she reckons Jasmine is a traitor. Molly and Jasmine are listening at the door and Jasmine rocks in and her and Charlotte have words.
Well, they have more than words.
More
there's
than
wigs.
Words. There is wigs. There's skin flying, right? Mission time. Reb. Oh, sorry, I love your notes. Mission time, aka power nap time for Reb. I love that. Today's mission. It is set in a derelict rundown cabin in the woods. This challenge was really giving an escape room / I'm a celeb vibes.
Welcome
Reb,
for me.
Reb things. I didn't love it either. I haven't loved the last two missions.
I can't watch I'm a Celeb. I don't like writing.
Yeah. It also just doesn't excite me.
Because I watched this one with my parents last night who are refusing to watch The Traitors for some reason. And I'm like, guys, you'll really like
rude.
It. Just give it a go. Rude.
Yeah.
And I was like, just give it a go. And then my mom was disgusted by the mission. And I was like, no, a lot of them are more like logic based.
She needed to watch the funeral one.
Do you know what I mean?
So fab. Yeah.
But they have agreed to continue watching.
Okay, great. You've converted a few listeners. Lovely. So there's $8,000 and a shield inside. Okay. Bear that in mind. Mm-hmm. Contestants need to go in, find the gold and escape in 30 minutes. That's the deal. There were keys and maps hidden under tablecloths, a secret tunnel underneath the house. They had to exit through via a well and use radios to communicate, right? We got Narnia vibes and there was a cave tunnel hidden behind a wardrobe.
This
was that was like us doing the escape room.
The boat.
Room. Yeah, the escape room on the boat in Dublin.
The one escape room we've done that we won't stop talking
won't
about.
Won't stop talking about.
We need to do another one.
We do. We loved it and we were violently hungover. there was water dripping and centipedes dropping on top of people.
No.
Absolutely vile. Ross was having an awful time with the lights. Harry was trying to unscrew the gold which was locked away and Andrew, oh my god, same line, we've written the same line, Reb, I love you. Andrew was claustrophobic, Darren. There was a lot going on, and if that wasn't enough, they had stinky fruit in there as well.
No.
Jazz described the smell as sick and poo mixed together.
No, I just can't do that.
I'd imagine that smelled like a scene in the movie last night, to not ruin anything.
Sorry, what?
The movie we watched last night.
What?
When he walked in, he was like, bleh! With the smell.
Oh, yeah.
Charlotte does an amazing job of the mission because she really, 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 really wants a shield, but it is ultimately Harry who gets it and he decides to keep that a secret.
Finally,
which is the first time that's happened in this series. But Molly, however, does see it. Mm-hmm. So he's kept it a secret, didn't disclose it when Claudia asked if anyone wanted to, but Molly knows, right? But I think it just paints Harry more as a faithful.
I think so too, and she's his little bestie, so it makes sense that he has someone to talk to about
it
with.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the mission, it's down to the wire, as it always is now. Editing question.
So if it was any other channel, I'd be like, it's produced to, you know, be tense. But I just feel like the BBC would not do that.
We trust them empirically. But is that a word?
I don't know.
It's something in and around that word. Moving on. I'd love to get a producer on because I do have lots of questions about
the timing with the missions.
And other things about how the show is done. Yeah. I'd love to know. They're never going to reveal it.
No.
It's like a magician won't reveal his trick. So there's 1 minute to go and they all get out apart from Evie, who sacrifices herself because someone needs to be in the cabin to keep the lights on.
Okay.
In order to let Brendan wouldn't know that.
I wouldn't remember that from last night.
Twisted last night watching it and to talk to her all day. So she sacrificed herself, which reduces the prize pot by £1,000. So I think they found £5,000. Rebecca was
sleepy at this point.
She's asleep.
We're all gone.
Will I just do this for myself? Why am I even over here? And I was up at 8:30 this morning doing an interview. I'm flat out.
You're on 5 Live this morning.
I was on 5 Live this morning. Glam. And really, really nice chat, but they hadn't watched
it. No spoilers, yeah.
So we just talked around it. But we did very well, I think.
A lot about Claudia Winkleman. His wardrobe,
that type of thing. So after the mission they go back to the castle and Rebecca says in the words of Bjork, it's oh so quiet. Everyone is suspicious of everyone and we're getting a lot more of this downtime because there's less airtime needed for missions at the round table.
So, yeah, and these moments where everyone is just hanging around the kitchen or like the kind of library is where we see those little breakout conversations happening. Yeah.
And these are the exact moments that my parents who don't watch the show were like, so how is the film? And I was like, look,
guys, wished.
I'm so sorry, but this is really, wished. This is probably the most important part of the whole thing. So in one of the conversations going on, Ross mentions that Harry could be a traitor. And Evie says Harry is definitely smart enough. So the spotlight on Harry now for the first time. Jazza, tells us that he thinks Harry really did go up against Paul so well. His knowledge was borderline psychic, it's giving.
Psychic Sally.
Joyce. but he's waiting to shoot his shot. Meanwhile, Harry does tell Zach and Jazz that he has a shield and then he thinks the traitors will try and kill him tonight.
This is the first time that I think Harry is over-egging the pudding. I feel like he's played an impeccable game up to this point and I just feel like he's giving Paul energy. It's a little too much.
He's pauling.
It's on the verge of appalling.
He's gone full Paul.
Yeah.
And I think we see him have a great night in the castle.
Yeah.
Everyone was congratulating him and I think that's gone to his head a little bit.
Yeah, and we literally said on yesterday's episode that Harry's playing an amazing game. What he needs to do right now is sink back into the wall with Claudia for an episode or two.
Go blonde, pet. Okay, so Harry explains to us that his master plan is to actually recruit tonight and everyone will think that he was murdered by the traitor. So this is clever, okay? So Harry's got a shield. We've got Zach, Jazz and Molly are the only people that know about it. So he's kind of creating this inner circle of trust.
Clever.
And his plan is to, in fact, recruit, arrive next morning, everybody's there, and instead of revealing that they've recruited, which would let everyone know that they're probably back on the free, it's very,
very clever.
He's going to say, guys, look, I have to admit something, I have the shield, they must have tried to murder me.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of benefits to that. They get to recruit, fly under the wing, he gets to kind of cement himself as a traitor.
Yeah.
And as a very clever little boy.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so then we are at the round table, okay? Zach begins, and he says that he believes Paul would have recruited someone, right? Charlotte says that she knows everyone thinks it's her because she was close with Paul, but they need to look at people that Paul has had disagreements with. So maybe Jazz, she suggests, and this is what we were saying as well. If you are sitting around that round table and say, like in the last episode, when Paul and Harry were going at each other, you need to look at who the banished person was clashing with the surviving person, because the way that a traitor reacts to another traitor is different to the way a traitor reacts to a faithful.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier said than done when you're outside knowing who everyone is watching it. But when you're in there, you need to look at the reaction of the person who's been spoken to.
Do you remember in the last season, am I remembering this correctly, but do they all have notebooks? I remember them like writing notes in their individual lodgings at the end of last year. And I think they had notebooks in the castle because they were able to write stuff down like this, like Paul clashed with Harry, Harry Clive looks like this. I could be completely.
Yeah, no, no, no. I don't remember that. Yeah, no, no, no.
But I think they've taken that away from them because they're obviously not able
that
to.
That and the individual lodgings.
This is it.
Yeah. Okay. So Charlotte also brings up here how she thinks Jasmine is a traitor because she pushed for Jazz at the round table last time, but switched last minute and decided to go for Paul, which we do see a lot of switching. Like, you know, they'll go into the round table and they'll be like, I think it's Hannah, but then you'll turn your chalkboard around and it'll say Rebecca. Like, yeah. But we don't get the time to see how you've switched from one to the other. Charlotte and Jasmine clash a lot.
They really do.
Here. They really clashed and they go for each other, right? Charlotte gets like really defensive here and also a bit emotional because she thinks Jasmine is making it personal and like, yeah, it sort of kind of like goes out of the game here. Molly says that she thinks it's strange that Charlie was killed. And she says she and Charlotte were best pals in the castle. Molly then brings up how Jazz is always having loads of private chats. He defends himself and says he just wants the advice of people that he trusts, right? Zach points the finger at Jasmine for switching from Jazz to Paul. And he says that she never mentioned suspecting Paul before. And it all looks really convenient. But the time for talk is over. Like, ugh, I know we bang on about it, but like Claudia's delivery is just, she's like... Who would like to start? The time for talk is over. Like, she's just... Oh, chef's kiss.
Perfect.
She's perfect. I saw Rylan tweeted yesterday how... Rylan was like, I often watch TV shows going, I would love to present that. I wish I was doing that. But he's like, this is the one thing where I watch it and go, I am so happy that Claudia is doing this. And there is no one better for the job. Yeah, so brilliant.
I mean, I don't think I ever would have picked her, but she's just perfect.
Oh, I love her.
Okay, so we've got the votes. Charlotte goes for Jasmine, no surprise there. She thinks she was recruited. Jazz and Harry both go for Charlotte with a variety of spelling mistakes because she is overcompensating. Jazz picks... Zach picks
Charlotte. They spell Charlotte in this how Elton John pronounces Charlotte Tilbury in the act, don't they? He's like, thanks, Charlotte.
A hard
start at the end. Yeah.
Okay, so I
knew it reminded me of something and I couldn't remember it. I was like, it's Elton John saying Charlotte.
Elton John's favourite candle that you have made over here.
I had to give that you.
Zach picks Jasmine because he thinks she's lying when she answers some of the questions. Molly goes for Jazz over secret chat. They're just all so wrong. Yeah. Andrew goes for Charlotte, doesn't really give a reason, the poor man, so goes very well. Jasmine votes for Charlotte because she doesn't think she's true. She doesn't like her, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Ross goes for Charlotte as well, as does the final vote from Evie. So it is Charlotte who's banished. She says she loves everyone, but she has been collateral damage from Paul, which is absolutely true.
Because there were sort of like whisperings among people watching that maybe Charlotte and Paul were together, but that's not in real life, but that's not the case.
No, I don't think so. I think Charlotte is gay.
Yeah.
So no, she's not with Paul. Is Paul married? Is Charlotte married? Okay, so she then reveals that she is a faithful, and Claudia pops in to say they've gotten rid of Edna. They're very helpful faithful.
I love how sassy Claudia's been this season. She's like, you fucked it, basically, every time. She's being real like, great one, guys.
Yeah. She's just brilliant. Afterwards, Ross says he thinks Paul was recruited as a scapegoat. Oh no, he thinks Paul recruited
a scapegoat. Yeah.
Well, little does he know that is what happened when it was Harry masterminding it.
Yeah.
So Evie then says Harry has helped catch traitors like Paul and Miles in the past, and Jasmine is under the magnifying glass for being defensive. She'll be gone so soon.
Yeah.
Andrew asks Jazz why he thinks Ross is a traitor, and Jazz says Paul really trusted him and he's influential and gets on with everyone.
Yeah, okay, so then we are to the traitor's turret. The clock chimes midnight, although I would doubt it's midnight. I'd say it's more like 3 a.m. I'd say the filming on this is really, really long. I'd say the days are so long.
Yeah, I'd say you're wrecked.
I'd say you're wrecked, which probably really plays into the round table, like, because, you know, if you're like tired, hungry, 100%. Emotional, you're just going to...
Look at Brian.
Yeah, you're going to crack.
So, do you think they record it like every single day in a row, or do you think they get time off?
So they film for 2 to 3 weeks and we see what... 12. Yeah, they film every day.
A lot, in fairness, isn't it?
They might get like a day off somewhere.
Yeah, like
as they
Sunday.
Need to build a mission or something.
Yeah, but I think it's every day. Or something, walk around.
The Arndale. The Ardale. Oh my god, I love the Ardale.
So
it's in a different city, but we love it. So the clock chimes midnight. It's time to take to the bed as Reb did during the mission. And also time for the traitors.
Which you did during the show.
As I did me. It took to the gym. Also time for the traitors to decide whether to seduce or murder. And I love.
That is a new
I
term.
Feel like we pivoted because it used to be recruit or murder. And it's absolutely changed to seduce.
It's just sexier.
Yeah, but I feel like it's inappropriate.
It is definitely inappropriate. Yeah. You're not seducing anyone, you're telling them on a page.
It's not seductive.
No, but they just ramped up the camp this year.
They really did. I still don't know how I feel about Claudia talking to the camera. I don't think I liked it.
Ah, Brendan.
No, I didn't.
But you couldn't get in the red gloves.
Yeah, no, it wasn't for me.
Oh, I love it. Break no, the fourth wall, clean.
I didn't enjoy it, but I, however, did love Ross's wink, obviously. So, in the traitor's turret, Harry says they are the most traitorous faithfuls and shows Andrew the shield and says that they should seduce tonight so it'll look like the traitor's trying to kill him. So this is the whole spiel from earlier on, right? He says that if they recruit a traitor, it'll be 3 against 3,
it's
which
genius.
Is like great odds, right?
Yeah.
Claudia comes in, she pops in, she's like, hi. And they tell her that they've decided to recruit Ross and joke that he will be a scapegoat. Claudia's reaction here is amazing. And this is what everyone is talking about online. She's like, ooh, another man, very like olden days.
BAFTA.
Brilliant. She's been with her husband, I think, since she was like, they're like childhood sweethearts, as far as I know.
That's so nice. Yeah. I feel like it's so rare.
Yeah, I think they're childhood sweethearts. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
so
nice. So good.
Very
I know.
Olden days.
So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Andrew's reaction to when she said that, he like guffawed.
Yeah.
It's so good.
She's just brilliant.
She's brilliant.
So then we see Ross get the letter in which the traitors have described him as trustworthy, smart, and strategic, just like his mother.
And he's like, for fuck's
Yeah. So Ross is like, well, they don't know me well. He reveals he wants to be a faithful till the end. And he does consider saying no because obviously they killed poor Diane, Lady Di. But he reckons that he reckons that Diane is looking down saying, go for it, wee son.
There's so many tweets that's like, Ross Pat, she's not actually dead.
She's not actually dead, yeah. Ross and Charlotte, it wasn't a real funeral. So Ross agrees to become a traitor, right? Because it'll give him control, he says. He joins them in the traitor's turret. He derobes to see Harry and Andrew. Just that phrase, just honestly.
So good.
Andrew reveals that he is a recent recruitment. He's like, I'm not here long, pet. Harry says that he's put all 3 previous traitors in the ground. Again, just a little bit too cocky here because Ross, obviously, you know, if you're recruited, you're going to feel like they're going to fuck you over as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So Ross reckons that they should get Jasmine out tomorrow and then asks, why'd you kill my mother?
Yeah, he's basically like, look, guys, I do have a couple of questions and, you know, I'm interested in a couple of the murders you've done. For example, my mother, Diane.
Yes. Yeah. So Harry says that she was getting too brave, so we put her in her place.
No, I'm sorry, but like...
her final resting place.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Ross tells the viewers then in his little talking head bit that this is the moment that he felt himself... like boiling over. We are talking, yes, Chef the Bear. We are seeing white hot corner behind. We are going over.
No, I didn't. Yes, Chef.
I went to a restaurant the other day and it was in London. And she's rolled her eyes at me. But it was like an open counter, so the kitchen was there, and they were literally saying, corner behind! And
no.
I was squealing.
No,
I swear to God, they were like, corner behind!
And
I'm
you
like,
were like, yes!
I'm having the time of my life. So Ross says that his mum was murdered, so he will have to get revenge if he has an opportunity, and giving us, as we've mentioned so bizarrely on this podcast a couple of times recently, the TV show Revenge. He wants to avenge his mother's death.
Avenge mother.
Rebecca, stunning recap. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Angel. Okay, we're moving on to...
your thoughts and theories after this.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, I did forget about the ad break, okay? But, like, Lisa's the only one that didn't fall asleep or watch the TV show Through the Veil of a Substance for the last two evenings. Okay, your tweets. Guys, I have to say, it was the best night on Twitter for a TV show I think I've ever seen. Everyone who is using that hashtag is so on point.
Yeah.
You're all so funny.
People are
witty.
So witty.
You're so intelligent.
The wit is next level.
It's off the charts. If you aren't even a Twitter user, and I would completely empathize with that, just get on and follow that hashtag, because there is just, there's works of art being created on there. So Michael Blay says, how is Harry taking all the credit for calling out traitors? Yet when Jazz says it, he's diminished as having no proof and having an agenda. I couldn't agree more. Justice for Jazz at the Christie. Terry Plimmer, friend of the podcast, says, the line of the episode goes to Claudia on learning that they want to recruit Ross. Another man? Just like the old days.
Yeah, it's so good.
Can I get that on a t-shirt? Will someone brand... If we were arsed, Brandon.
Oh my God, if we had business heads about us.
We'd brand that on merch and then we'd be sued. But we'd make so much money, we'd pay off the lawsuit.
Sorry, I love that somebody emailed us the other day and said, I've been listening since the cease and desist days. I was like, that is someone who has listened.
I know, actually, myself.
She's going to give birth. That's someone who has listened intently since day one.
Somebody
messaged us to go, I have been listening since the cease and desist days. And if you're newer to the podcast, when we very, very, very first started, we had and still have no clue about what we're doing. And we just absolutely took the Line of Duty theme music and used it in the podcast.
Funny.
And we got a cease and desist from the BBC to be like, copyright, you cannot use that.
But rather than being scared, we were absolutely thrilled because we were like, oh my God,
the BBC emailed us. We all worked in the same building at that point.
You felt
and I was a floor below Hannah and Reb. They used to sit beside each other. And I ran up the stairs and like, the BBC have emails. I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, it's a legal thing.
Yeah, we're in shit. We're like, oh my God, but they've listened. Oh, that is the funniest thing. Okay, Martin Peake, I'm calling it. Ross is going full Tony Soprano on the other traitors. But why did he have to keep yelling at the walkie-talkie? I couldn't agree more. Ross's villain arc has begun. Avenge Mother, Operation Avenge Mother.
I still, even though slightly less after this episode, I want to see Harry go all the way.
No, neither I don't, I'm gone.
Are you?
The Ross arc?
Oh.
Is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And sorry, think about the moment when he's standing there with his little bag of colours. His ceremonial pouch, and he says, this is for you, Mum. And they are... gasping on the ground, puking, getting sick, screaming at the reveal. Brandon, come on.
Right now, I'm still back in Harry,
but
I could tip over.
But we're about to go into a week of just television for the ages. My unborn child will be watching this in 20 years.
Yeah.
I'll be telling her all about it. Rachel thinks Harry has properly fucked it. Andrew was happy to murder. Harry sort of went on this rampage to get him to recruit. He's really manipulating Andrew. It's kind of pissing me off. They still could have told everyone that Harry had the shield and murdered someone else, but they recruited Ross and he is going to start something. Rachel, I agree with you, girl. Mrs. McGriffin says, late to last night, but Claudia's cream jumper and knit combo was fabulous, but can anything beat the veil from Wednesday? No.
No, not at all.
No.
That entire episode, that mission, that look... the horses, the carriage, the mood, it was 11 out of 10.
Her wardrobe for this season needs to be the theme of the 2025 Met Gala, and there needs to be mannequins.
Oh my god, that's a great shout.
There needs to be mannequins with just fringes, yeah, and then the outfits that she wore,
yeah,
and then everyone is going to wear like different types of knit jumpers.
Yeah.
Actually, Brendan Courtney gave.
He did in his little cardigan last night.
Paul Mescal.
Oh, he did. He gifted Paul Andrew Mescal Haig. And Andrew Scott and Andrew Haig. We thought the little pink cardigan he wore, but he was like, no, it was, he gave them knitted
Aaron
sweaters.
Jumpers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like they're sorted for yeah. the Met Gala.
And he said the Paul Mescal was devastated that it wasn't a little pink cardigan.
Oh my god. Okay, Joan Berkeley says, what size knitting needles would you need to make Claudia's jumper tonight? Now, we can't answer that, but we did ask for an actuary to write in, and lo and behold,
yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
So, knitters, let's get patterns, let's get information, and would you please let Joan Berkeley know what size knit needles that
yes,
she needs?
Rather large, I'd say. Now, do you know what I'm... Claudia's wardrobe 10 out of 10, but last year I loved the big roll neck, like it was,
yeah,
like it was ridiculous. Like we haven't seen anything at that level,
and she hasn't done a lot of tartan. I think there's
been like kind of like suggestions of tartan, yeah, but not loads.
I yeah. can't wait to see Rihanna's take on this at the gala carpet now. Okay, and Anna G recommends.
Could you imagine if the Met Gala's theme was Claudia Winkleman does the traitors?
I'm dedicating my life
yeah, no,
to making
fair
that happen.
Yeah.
The biggest regret in my whole relationship with Craig so far is that we were in New York last year and we flew home
with Cheesecake Factory.
With the Cheesecake Factory, with you.
Yeah.
But we had open flights, so we
yes.
had the option to stay on.
Yeah, you could have stayed. Yeah.
And we flew on home
yeah.
on the day of the Met Gala.
Yeah.
And it is my dream. I will stand out there for 16 hours.
Yeah.
I will wee into a bottle just to see those people walk in and see those clothes.
Yeah.
And we flew home on that day and I cried the whole way home because I couldn't believe we were leaving.
She cried and ate cheesecake.
I did.
Yeah.
And then I got in trouble with that woman and then I was like, this is honestly the worst day of my life.
I honestly thought you were being pulled aside for like some glamorous moment and then you were like, that woman's just taking the head off my shoulders.
The head yeah. off me. Okay, Anna G said to wrap up our tweet at Shrine Pod, genuinely never seen the name Charlotte spelled like that. Big Starbucks energy. I think she's referring to Harry the
Charlotte,
which was Charlotte.
Yeah, he was
saying
it how Elton says it. Yeah.
Yeah, he went full phonetical, but there was an array of spellings last night. So thank you all so much for those at Shrine Pod. Brendan, on the email.
Okay, let's go to your voice notes. Here is Sarah.
Guys, that was such a good episode. Everyone was turning on each other. It was brilliant. You know, sad that we've lost a blonde, but it's okay. We've still got some backup, so that's good. But my favorite moment of the episode, without doubt, was Ross. Okay, so from the start, I've kind of been a bit meh about Ross. He just seems to be a bit of a dope. And then he was really firmly wedged up Paul's arse, which kind of made him less likable again. But when he got recruited, his reaction where he was like, "Ugh, all right, I'll do it," was just gas. And then when he got into that turret and he was like, "I am here to avenge my mother," it was just chef's kiss. I'm here for it. I'm loving it. I would be fine with any of the all three traitors winning now. Harry, because he's played such a good game so far. Andrew, because he's clearly of such high moral standing, he's just horrified at everything that's going on. And Ross, because he would be avenging Diane's death. I mean, it can only end brilliantly.
I love the word avenge.
Yeah.
And I was only ever introduced to it during that ridiculous TV show, Revenge.
It's become very important to you this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, avenge my mother's death. I'm still on the Harry train. I would punch the ceiling if he won.
Oh my god!
But
I think
I could be converted to Ross over the next few episodes.
I've literally like the Harry train is moving. I've opened the door and rolled off down a ditch. And like
she's done a stop, drop, and roll.
I have,
yeah.
And I've got onto the back of the Ross bandwagon that's being led by Diane in a stunning outfit with those black horses, and I'm sitting there proudly going,
yeah.
"Let's go, King!
Yeah.
Avenge thy mother!"
Yeah.
It's Shakespeare. We're watching
yeah,
Shakespeare.
It's brilliant. Here's Vicky.
Hi, Shrine Podcast. Vicky here from London. Well, who knew that Charlotte loved everyone? It was news to me, and it was definitely news to Jasmine, who did not look convinced, even when she was leaving. And I absolutely loved Claudia's comment about the traitors only recruiting men, just like the old days. Classic. By the way, have you heard that the traitors are coming to Ireland? One of you should definitely audition. I'll give you a couple of tips. First of all, if you see people arguing, two people arguing, going at each other, they're probably traitors. Just because somebody's got a 100% success rate of sniffing out traitors doesn't mean they're faithful. In fact, it makes them more likely to be a traitor. And finally, don't make the mistake of saying traitorous all the way through. That's not a word. The word is treacherous. It's been driving me up the wall.
Vicky, thank you so much for that.
Did you go for the Irish one?
No, because I want to watch. It's probably more enjoyment than watching it, is there?
Do you have to be British to go on the British one?
No, I emailed because I applied for the British one. And I said I live in Ireland.
And yeah, but like, you have the British passport. They don't
I do
mind.
Have a British passport. No, they said they didn't mind, but sure, I haven't heard from them, have I?
Well, look, never they never pass.
I know. Hi, guys. Tom producers.
Tom producers, not enough.
Here is somebody named... thrilled with this dirty Di.
Well, lads, I mean, Diane may be the people's princess, but Ross is definitely now our prince. I am over the moon. I can't believe it. I am giddy with excitement. I hope Ross takes them all down, steals some money, and goes running back home to his mummy, Diane. This is just amazing TV. Love the show. Long time listener. And yes, I just want to say in the words of our great love, Diane, yous are absolutely...
Oh, Dirty Di, thanks. I don't know if your name is actually Di or you've just named yourself Dirty Di, but thank you so much.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. Team Ross all the way. Take them down.
I may tip over into that camp over the next couple of episodes, but I'm still on the Harry train.
Yeah, well, if you watch the episode properly, you might...
And on that note... have a great weekend. We will be back on Thursday after Wednesday's episode. No.
We've got a coming soon, Brendan. Sections go through here.
There you go.
Jesus, he's out the door. So at the end of last night's episode, we did get a coming soon, yeah. Which they give us now on a Friday to tide us over. Thank you.
Yeah, we don't get them during the week because obviously it's the next day.
We're getting enough. They said that's enough for you. Here's what will keep you going. So... to quickly go through it, and thank you, Reb, for the notes. At the end of the episode, we get the coming soon. We see someone wearing a creepy gold mask. The missions in the coming soon look valuable. They look expensive.
I think they've done a few cheap ones in the middle, like i.e. the last two.
100%. Yeah. We see Jasmine being caught in a net. I think there's like sort of abseiling mission. Harry tells Andrew that he's trying to figure out how they can win the game. Well, maybe let Andrew get a word in. contestants are ziplining over water. We then see Zach and Jasmine going head to head at the round table. He says she's stumbling to save herself. And Jasmine says she saved her life and hasn't murdered anyone. There's then a shot of what looks like a pirate ship. This looked big budget now. This was like Hollywood shit. Branded with a traitor's logo on the flag, and it closes again with Harry saying, "This game is mad." Also, if you're watching,
was this? Was that? It wasn't. It was an accident. So, So basically, when we watched this, we saw in the middle of the coming up, it flicked to a newsreader, sort of Trevor McDonald style, shuffling her sheets and just chatting randomly in the studio, not broadcasting. And I didn't know if it was part of a mission.
Same.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was.
No, it was an accident. Somebody in the BBC pressed the wrong button and put the newsreader in BBC Northern Ireland out early.
Yeah. And then we're like, oh, Jesus. And then cut back to it. And that was exciting.
I always remember years ago. And if you're listening in Ireland, you'll know what we're talking about. So when TV3 first came on air... Gráinne Seoghaire was still the newsreader. So it was Gráinne Seoghaire and...
I love the show.
I think... Claire Byrne were the two newsreaders, and in the middle of an ad break or the middle of Emmerdale, someone pressed the wrong button and they flicked to the newsroom, and Gráinne Seoghaire was telling Claire Byrne about the sandwich she had. She was literally like, yeah, I got a sandwich, and I had chicken and coleslaw and a bit of mayonnaise, and it was the most mundane thing ever.
But thank God, because it could have been anthem.
Could have been anything. Yeah, so good. Anyway, that's random newsreaders popping up during shows. And that is Shrine Pod for today. Please do follow us on socials. We are at Shrine Pod. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, formerly known as X, or the other way around. We are also on the TikTok. You can visit our website, shrinepodcast.com. Please send us voice notes. We love hearing from you and being able to hear
Brendan you. Brendan loves the voice notes. Yeah. He talks about it every day. I love them as well.
I love them. I really love them. You can email us as well, shrinepod@gmail.com. Most importantly, please, and this is a stunning line from Hannah, tell your fellow faithful where to listen to us. And you can leave us a glowing review. 5 stars only, please.
We got 2.
Did we?
Open it up there really quickly and thank those people.
On Apple.
Because we said we'd do it yesterday. We got 2 reviews on Apple from the last time I checked, and they were the first reviews we got in a year. So our first reviews for Covering Traders, and guys, we really appreciate it.
Look forward to the pod almost as much as the Traitors itself. Great mix of chat and theories on the show. They pod about. Good job, lads. Thumbs up. That's from Nikki 1988-8. 5-star review. And best pod in my list. So fun. I'd watch a show they're reviewing just because they're reviewing it. That's from Aoife K. 5 stars as well. Aoife, thank you so much. And Nikki, thank you so much as well. We will be back next week. Until then, stay faithful.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.